Muftisab has just asked me to call Advocate Salim also to the front, inshallah, if there's any legal issues that need to be addressed. So without any further ado, Muftisab, I'm going to put the first question forward. The brother from the audience asks, he says that I import a lot of goods and my goods are always at risk while at sea. My supplier insists that I must take out insurance to cover for the loss of the goods. I know insurance is haram. How can I overcome this difficulty?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mufti Imran Fawda, who is my colleague at the Darul Ifta, he was unable to come today because he is studying law at the moment and he's at a very critical stage. And tomorrow he has to write his exams, so he has excused himself from that. Alhamdulillah, we make dua for every success for Mufti Imran Fawda. And Alhamdulillah, he's a very great asset. He and Mufti Zakaria Desai, they help us assist. All the work that you see here is actually an expression of their efforts, inshallah. As far as the question is concerned, conventional insurance is not permissible, and we have explained that in our talk. If a Muslim is required to insure the goods that he's importing, the alternative to that would be that tell the exporter, the person that is exporting it, if he's a non-Muslim, for him to insure the goods and make an arrangement with him to inflate the price of the goods and let him insure the item. As a non-Muslim, if he carries the burden of the insurance, then you would not be responsible for that.
From a legal perspective, the terms of a contract are determined by the parties concluding the contract. So, for example, if the importer tells the exporter that one of the terms of our agreement would be that you deliver the goods to me, and upon delivery you've complied with your obligations, then he escapes the obligation to deal in insurance. When he receives the goods, that's when he becomes liable for payment. Now, that can be arranged per contract.
The next question, I am a property developer and cash flow is always difficult while building. A bank has agreed to finance my project. How can I make this agreement Sharia compliant?
If a person wishes to develop a property, wishes to put up a block of flats or a house or whatever the case may be, and he does not have the finances to do that, then he could enter into an istisna contract with the person who has the financial means and ability to finance him. Now, istisna would be one person provide the finance and the contractor then would put up the building and they would share the profits between them two. Now, in istisna, you could either give the finances upfront, the 100% amount, or you could pay in deferred amounts. That means that you tell the building contractor that I'll pay you 50% now, and as the property develops, then we would see how it goes. I'll pay you the remaining amount, 50%, 40%, whatever the case may be. So this is also a type of partnership in Sharia. If a person does not have the finances, then he could get into a contract with the next person that will finance him on that. The Darul Ifta has prepared an istisna contract for quite a few people. If anybody is interested in that, they could contact the Darul Ifta. We have all the clauses set out, the procedures set out for that, and inshallah we'll make it available for anybody that requests that. Also wish to make one point very clear. The services of the Darul Ifta is completely free of charge. Many, many businessmen come to us to check up their transactions. They also, when it comes to disputes, we spend many hours on end. But even for whatever contracts and whatever things we design for the public, we don't charge a cent from the people. And so that it serves as a service for the community for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
I may just comment. If one was to unite all the resources of the Muslim Ummah, there are various people investing monies in banks and receiving interest. If all that went into some kind of a system which accumulated those funds, that was now utilized for the kind of development project which forms the subject matter of this question, then the parties investing will receive halal returns, and their returns will probably be a lot higher as well, because you're now overcoming the exorbitant bank interest rates, which is invariably one of the largest charges in development projects.
The next question, respected Mufti Sahab, can we allow other people to use our business license and charge them a fee for this?
In my talk, I've mentioned now and I've also mentioned previously, as citizens of this country, it is very important for us to abide by the laws of the country. do not violate the laws of this country, respect the laws of the country that do not violate and the principles of the Sharia. Now, if it is against the law of the land for you to give your license to a next person, one should not do that. It will also be against the Sharia to do so.
Just to give you a very simple example, you have a driver's license. Can you now give your driver's license to someone else and tell people that you are me? You see, that's fraud. It's tantamount to fraud. So under exceptional circumstances where the law would allow it, the general position is you're not allowed to, because your license is specifically issued to you after you satisfy certain conditions.
The next question, who is AAOIFI and what is their function? Are their research authentic? I have been informed that Mufti Taqi Uthmani is a part of their board. Is this true?
Basically, AAOIFI, that is expressed as IOFI standards. It stands for that Accounting and Auditing Organization for Financial Institutions. But this is a group of ulama and a group of, besides ulama, there are some experts in the accounting field that have set out standards for financial institutions. Now, as far as that IOFI standard is concerned, when we studied it, we went through everything, we have understood the issues. We have noticed many things in there contradicting certain things that Mufti Taqi Uthmani Sahib Majda Zilluhu, we have the greatest amount of respect for him, but certain things contradicting other writings of Mufti Taqi Uthmani Sahib in other books of his. So we wrote to him and asked him whether he agrees with all the standards that is there. So he did give it to us in writing that he does not agree with all the standards of the IOFI measures. So, as far as the IOFI standards are concerned, nobody in the world would agree that everything of there is acceptable, and neither can we say everything there is unacceptable. There may be certain things that are acceptable there, there are certain things that are not acceptable there, so therefore you cannot use that as an absolute guideline to do Sharia compliance for the banks.
The next question, what is the Sharia ruling on subletting?
If a person has a property and he wishes to sublet it to a next person, or the tenant wishes to sublet it to somebody else, and if the landlord does not mind that, he may sublet it if he puts with the same amount that he's paying his landlord. But if he made an addition to it, for example, he created more facilities in that, he could sublet it for a higher amount.
Just one comment. Usually in your lease agreements, provision is made that the tenant can sublet the property provided he has the consent or permission of the landlord. Now, if you have such a provision, then there are no problems from a legal perspective. Oftentimes, you have a provision which says that this property may not be sublet without the consent of the lessor first being obtained, in which case you have to obtain his consent before you sublet it. It might be that the landlord does not want the property sublet, for example, for certain purposes, for the purpose of a liquor outlet or something to that effect. Now, if you have a non-Muslim tenant who wants to sublet it to someone for the conduct of a liquor outlet there, that will be contrary to Sharia. He's got to do so with your consent. You will not give him the consent. He's therefore not entitled to sublet.
The next question, is it permissible to let out your premises for an ATM?
It is permissible to let out a portion of one shop for an ATM. There's a difference between housing an ATM and housing a bank. The ulama have stated that you making use of the service of a conventional bank is permissible based on zururat and based on need. The facility that is provided through the ATM is based on a need. If any person that used the ATM, if it's a debit card, there's no problem because he's got money there. But if it's a credit card, and if he made timeliest payment, that's well and good. If he did not make timeliest payment, then that is his responsibility. It wouldn't be the responsibility of the house that have housed him.
The next question, what is your opinion about investing in Al Baraka Bank? Recently, there has been a lot of sentiment about the Sharia compliance of Al Baraka.
As far as Al Baraka Bank is concerned, my dear brethren and respected elders, whatever I would answer on that, purely being conscious of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala being Hazir and Nazir, Allah Ta'ala is seeing whatever we are saying, Allah knows our intentions, and we have to be very truthful and very honest and say whatever is haq and whatever is correct to say. As far as financial institutions are concerned, and creating Sharia compliance in that and providing those services to the community and to the public, we support that 100%. The concept of Islamic bank is something that is needed in our community and our society. The Ummah requires it. But when we had our last business campaign and the issue of Al Baraka Bank came up, we tried to be diplomatic and we gave a diplomatic answer evading the issue. And many, many people got it back to us and gave us a flag for that. And told to us, why don't you be straight and upright and say whether it is permissible or not permissible. And we stated to the people that we do not want to condemn an institution who is trying to bring Sharia compliancy and so forth. However, after that, we've received so many complaints from the public and we have studied the contracts of Al Baraka Bank. Especially, I have to say very clearly, without favor and without fervor and fear of anyone, that the Musharaka contract of Al Baraka Bank is clearly, clearly not permissible. There are many clauses in that are completely in violation to the laws of the Sharia. As far as the other contracts are concerned, there are two issues. One is the contract and one is the procedure of expressing the terms of that particular contract. If the procedure is not done according to Sharia, then the proceeds of that transaction would also not be correct. And who suffers at the end are the people that are investing there. If any proceeds of any contract of any financial institution is not according to Sharia, and you think that it is according to Sharia, your profits on that would be contaminated.
The next question, it is compulsory for employees to contribute to the unemployment insurance fund. That's what
firstly, the concept of limited liability is not sanctioned in Sharia. And secondly, the issue of a juristic person. So these are two fundamental principles in Sharia. We have conducted detailed research on this, and that is available on our businessman data, and is also available on the Ask Imam side, it's also available on the Al Imam side, and alhamdulillah, many, many academics happened to read this, and they were very happy and confirmed that that is exactly what the legal position is, as we have expressed in that particular document. If anybody wants the document, you can phone the Darul Iftah, or you could also download it from the Ask Imam side, Al Imam side, or you could subscribe to the businessman data.
The next question is very similar. Is it trading on the stock market permissible? If so, which types of contracts are permissible? So that's already been answered. The next question is the money received from the South African Road Accident Fund halal?
Essentially, the money which you paid by the fund is monies which amount to compensation for injury sustained. So a person sustains injury, and he is then paid for those injuries sustained. It's compensation which is paid for the injuries sustained. The rationale is that there are other taxes which are levied during the course of one's life, for example, motor vehicle licenses, etc., etc., and this goes into a particular fund, that the funds in that particular fund are then taken to compensate people who've suffered injuries. Now, oftentimes, people who suffer injuries find themselves in financially very embarrassing positions. He might have been a breadwinner and the family is now left destitute, and the payment as compensation for those injuries then assists in order to sustain that family. Perhaps Mufti Saab can tell us what the Sharia perspective is on whether the payment of those funds is in accordance with Sharia.
A Shari analysis of this particular fund would be, it is the responsibility of the government to provide for its citizens and to help and help the citizens at the time of need, necessity, injury, and so forth. So whatever payment is being made from the government through this particular portfolio, it will be permissible and halal to receive.
Also, if I may just comment, you have no control over the taxes which the government's imposing. It's taking those taxes out of your licenses, etc., from other payments which people are making. And this now goes into a fund, and from that the compensation is actually paid.
The next question is not relating to business. A person asks that, can you advise us if a husband and wife are separated but talaq not pronounced yet? Is that husband obligated to support the wife and children during the separation period? The husband and wife are separated without talaq. The marriage is still intact. Is the husband still obligated to support the wife and children during the separation period?
If there is a separation between the husband and the wife, and the wife did not leave the marital home, she is not nashiza according to the Sharia, not regarded to be disobedient according to Sharia, then in that instant the husband is responsible to maintain his wife until the talaq takes place. When the talaq takes place, then that's a point, a terminating point of the maintenance obligation on the husband.
If I may just comment, I dealt with a case recently which had these particular factors. I acted for the one party. There was a non-Muslim attorney who acted for the other party. Although both the parties were Muslims, this was a matter which was debated in the Peter Maritzburg court. It was settled. It was settled as a result of the father. At my recommendation, the father of the husband and the father of the wife got together and they had a discussion in connection with this particular matter. But the short of it was this. They settled the matter and they agreed that X amount would be paid in respect of maintenance. And during the course of this matter, I told the attorney, the non-Muslim attorney, I said, look, in terms of South African law, now, circumstances where they were separated, the wife had gone away and was living with the parents, not living in the matrimonial home. And as I understood it, she didn't want to live in the matrimonial home and he didn't want her to live there. So I said, look, in terms of South African law, she is not entitled to maintenance because she is not married in terms of the South African law, but you're talking about an all-in settlement. You want X amount as maintenance for children, for whatever maintenance. That's the settlement you've arrived at. Perhaps you should take that because at the end of the day, you'll probably receive something less. But now, what Mufti Saad has just said is if she's still living with her husband and she's under his roof, then she's under an obligation to support. Mufti Saad, if she's not living, if she's with him, if she's living with her parents,
If he left the matrimonial home with his consent, then he is still responsible to maintain her.
You can see that we are almost out of time. We've just got maybe a minute or two left. We can just take maybe one more question. The next question is, how do you value stock for business, zakat purposes on cost or market saleable value? What is the proof for this and what is the wisdom for this?
We have just mentioned in the talk that when you're calculating the zakat on the stock in trade, then you would go according to the market value or the retail value or at most maybe the wholesale value, which will be cheaper than the retail value or the market value. One cannot go on the purchase price simply because the purpose of zakat is what is the value of your assets at that time and point. So if you purchase an item maybe 10 years ago, then the purchase price of that particular item would be different from what is the value of the item right now. The maqsad of zakat is to give zakat on the value of your assets as it is in today's terms.
Unfortunately, you know, we've run out of time, although there's a lot of queries. So inshallah, rest assured that these queries will be dealt with. You can find the responses for that on the Ask Imam website. And I've just been informed by Mawlana Zakaria from the WFLA that they will be answered gradually because there is a huge flow of queries that have been received by the WFLA today, which will interrupt the flow of the normal daily activity of the WFLA. So gradually these questions will be answered. Inshallah, the responses will be emailed to you if you are subscribed to the Businessmen's database. And otherwise, if not, then you can find the queries for that on the Ask Imam website, inshallah. And this is the last part of our agenda today, was the Q&A. So just briefly, although we haven't got a lot of time, the vote of thanks for everybody who have attended this Jalsa today and this event today. So alhamdulillah, with your attendance, this has been made successful. And it has been made a forum and a means for us to educate ourselves on various issues that are pertaining to the Muslim Ummah in the field of finance and business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a success and allow it to take place over and over again. And thanks goes out to all our ulama who have attended despite their involvements. And they have taken the time out to come and grace our majlis and gathering here. And also all of our members of the audience who have traveled great distances to come and attend this gathering. A vote of thanks also goes out to you on behalf of the Darul Ifta and the staff of the Madrasa in Amia Camperdown. And we ask you that the next time the Sharia compliant business campaign takes place again, then inshallah to avail and attend again and grace us with your presence. So just before we conclude, the last thing on our agenda is the final dua, and we will call upon Mufti Abdul Jalil Sahab to give us a short dua. Thereafter which we will break up for the Dhuhr Salah, Adhan will be given. And after the Dhuhr Salah, inshallah, Mullah Madni Sahab also will just say a few words before the final dua. And just announcement that after the Dhuhr Salah, inshallah, the lunch will be served. Everybody is invited to partake of the lunch. And as I said in the beginning, that after the lunch, inshallah, the CDs available for the whole program will be available and we can purchase that if you're interested. Jazakumullah.
respected brothers and friends, Haji Bayan, I am Maulana Muhammad Banker, Bayan. And I'm feeling so happy today that so many businessmen have come here, and I'm taking this opportunity to really, from the bottom of my heart, to thank Jazakumullah Khair for coming. At the same time, it is you, the businessmen, who have shouldered with us in this institution that today you see that this garden is flourishing, inshallah. Jazakumullah Khair, Allah Pak give you barakah in your life, in your wealth, in whatever you do. And those who have made intention to come out from that interest-bearing transactions or business, what Mufti Sahab and Maulana Muhammad have mentioned, Allah Pak make it easy for you, make halal and Pak tayyab rozi for you, and give you barakah in everything what you are doing. A special Jazakumullah Khair to those friends of mine and businessmen who have taken this upon themselves. And we have gone on, whatever project we have gone on in this madrasa, whether to make beds for the students, whether to building, whatever it may be. The last project which I went around a few weeks ago, Allah Pak made it easy. Allah Pak give them Jazakumullah Khair, give them barakah also. That we wanted to make easy for our Asatiza Ikram who are making khidmat here. Yeah, those Asatiza Ikram whose family background is financially so strong, they could have gone into business and they have become big businessmen. But they have sacrificed all that and they stayed here to make khidmat of deen. For them, I went around asking my friend that the basic food commodities assist us so we can give it as a hajjah gift to our Asatiza. And Alhamdulillah, all of them willingly, they agreed, and Alhamdulillah, inshallah, this project is already underway and inshallah is starting very soon. So Allah Pak give you barakah, Allah Pak give you a lot of success in your business, and Allah Pak take you strength to strength. Jazakumullah khair.
مسلمانوں کی زندگی ان کی زندگی ان کی لائف ان کا مال اور ان کے تمام چیزوں کو اللہ تعالیٰ صحیح صحیح طریقے پر حضور اللہ کے حکم کے مطابق چلنے کی توفیق دے. اس سے سب سے بڑی چیز ہمیں یہ ہے کہ الحمدللہ یہ علماء اور مفتیان کرام جو آج ہمیں اس خدمت کا موقع ہمیں دیا ہے اور ہمیں جو گائیڈنس دے رہے ہیں اللہ تعالیٰ انہیں جزائے خیر عطا فرمائے. اور ہمارے حضرت مفتی صاحب دامت برکاتہم مفتی ابراہیم دیسائی صاحب خاص طور پر یہ لائک از ناٹ نارمل مفتی از ہی از اے مفتی مجاہد. میں ان کو مجاہد کہا کرتا ہوں اس وجہ سے کہ الحمدللہ کسی بھی فتوے میں ڈرتے نہیں ہیں اور بغیر خوف اللومت اللائمین فتوہ دیتے ہیں اور تقریباً اوور 100 کنٹریز کا فتوہ آتا ہے اور ایسے ایسے فتاوے آتے ہیں کہ جو مفتی صاحب اس پر محنت کرتے ہیں اور دوسرے ہمارے اور طلباء اور ہمارے دوسرے مفتیان محنت کرتے ہیں. آئی ایم آلسو از پارٹ آف دا دارالفتہ از انوالوڈ لٹل بٹ. تو الحمدللہ مجھے یہ معلوم ہے کہ کتنی خدمت کرتے ہیں. اللہ تعالیٰ ان کی عمر کو دراز فرمائے, ان سے خدمت لے اور قوم اور ملت کے بینیفٹ کو اللہ تعالیٰ باقی رکھے. اور اسی کے ساتھ ساتھ میں ایک چھوٹی سی مثال جو آج ہم اس اپنے مال اور اپنے جان اور اپنے اس کو لے کر آئے ہیں اس بات کو سمجھنے کے لیے کہ اللہ کے حکم کے مطابق ہم چلیں. دوست اور بزرگ, دنیا تو بہت تھوڑی دن کے لیے ہے. ہمارے حضرت قاری طیب صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ وہ فرمایا کرتے تھے کہ اسلام آخری اسلام ہے اور یہ آخری مذہب ہے, آخری دین ہے, اور تمام مسائل اللہ تعالیٰ نے قرآن اور حدیث میں ڈال دیا ہے. قیامت تک کے آنے والے فل قیامت تمام مسائل, جتنی دنیا میں چیزیں آج ہو رہی ہیں, نئی نئی چیزیں ہو رہی ہیں, نئی نئی ایجادات ہو رہے ہیں, لیکن اس کا فتویٰ موجود ہے. الحمدللہ اس کا فتویٰ موجود ہے, لیکن ہر جگہ نہیں. کمبر ڈاؤن دارالفتہ میں انشاءاللہ تعالیٰ اس کا فتویٰ ملے گا. اور اسی کے ساتھ ساتھ میں یہ بات ضرور عرض کروں گا کہ اللہ تعالیٰ ہمارے مال اور ہمارے جان اور ہماری فیملی کو پیور کرے. جو کچھ اس میں غلطی ہے اور ابھی بھی جو ہمارے مال میں کچھ گڑبڑی ہے, کچھ سود کا سلسلہ ہے, کچھ سود کا ٹرم ہے, تو کوشش کریں, ٹرائی کریں, تو پہلے تو توبہ کریں. ہمارے حضرت مفتی صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ فرمایا کرتے تھے کہ بھائی گناہ سے پہلے, گناہ کے
ہٹنے سے پہلے پہلے توبہ کرو اللہ سے کہ اللہ میں نے یہ گناہ کیا ہے اور میں مجرم ہوں، ہمیں معاف فرمائیں، اور اس کے بعد کوشش کریں کہ اس سے آپ نکلیں۔ اللہ تعالی ہم سبوں کو اور تمام مسلمانوں کو ان تمام گناہوں سے، جو مال سے متعلق ہے، جو زندگی اور لائف سے متعلق ہے، جو بزنس سے متعلق ہے، تمام گناہوں سے اللہ تعالی ہم سبوں کی حفاظت فرمائے۔ اللہ تعالی ہم سبوں کو قبول فرمائے، ہماری اس مجلس کو قبول فرمائے، آنے والوں کو قبول فرمائے، جو نہیں آ سکے انہیں بھی اللہ تعالی قبول فرمائے، اور اللہ تعالی پورے دنیا کے مسلمانوں کو، پورے دنیا کے بزنس مینوں کو اللہ تعالی قبول فرمائے، دین کے لیے، اللہ کے لیے اور اللہ کے رسول کے لیے اور اس کے ہم احکام پر ہم سبوں کو چلائے۔ وآخر دعوانا الحمدللہ رب العالمین۔ درود شریف پڑھیں۔ اللہم صل علی سیدنا مولانا محمد وعلی آلہ وصحبہ وبارک وسلم۔ جزا اللہ عنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم بما هو اہلہ۔ اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله، اللهم لك الحمد من السماوات من الارض من ما بينهما من ما شئت من شيء بعد، اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما على جميع نعمتك التي انعمت علي وعلى جميع المسلمين۔ اے اللہ ہم سبوں کے خطا اور کوتاہیوں کو معاف فرما۔ ربنا اتنا فی الدنیا حسنۃ وفی الآخرۃ حسنۃ وقنا عذاب النار۔ ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسینا واخطأنا۔ ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اسرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا۔ ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين۔ اللهم انا نسالك العفو والعافيه والمعافاه الدائمه في الدين والدنيا والاخره، اللهم انا نسالك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى، اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك۔ اے اللہ ہم سبوں کی خطا اور کوتاہیوں کو معاف فرما دے۔ اے اللہ امت کی خطاؤں کو معاف فرما۔ اے اللہ جو کچھ بھی ہمارے مالوں میں کمزوری سب کو دور فرما۔ اے اللہ ہمارے مالوں کو پاک اور حلال فرما۔ اے اللہ ہمارے مالوں کو پاک اور حلال فرما، ہر قسم کے تہمتوں سے حلال فرما، سود سے حلال فرما۔ اے اللہ ہر قسم کے چیزوں سے حفاظت فرما۔ اے اللہ ہماری تجارتوں کی حفاظت فرما، تجارتوں کو پاک صاف بنا دے۔ یا اللہ تیرے حکم کے مطابق تجارت کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما دے۔ یا اللہ جو کچھ کوتاہی ہے، یا اللہ ہم سب توبہ کرتے ہیں، یا اللہ تمام کوتاہیوں سے ہمیں معاف فرما دے۔ یا اللہ ہماری تمام زندگیوں میں سنت کے مطابق ہمیں چلنا آسان فرما دے۔ یا اللہ ہمارے مال کو، جان کو، عزت کو، آبرو کی حفاظت فرما دے۔ یا اللہ مسلمانوں کی تجارت میں برکت عطا فرما۔ یا اللہ ہمیں حلال مالوں کی برکت سے ہمیں نواز دے۔ یا اللہ حرام سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، حرام کی کثرت سے حفاظت فرما، حلال کی برکت سے ہمیں مالا مال فرما۔ یا اللہ حلال کی برکت سے ہمیں مالا مال فرما۔ یا اللہ ہم سبوں کے تمام ان کمزوریوں کو دور فرما جو مال سے متعلق ہے۔ یا اللہ ہم سبوں کی پوری پوری حفاظت فرما، امت کی حفاظت فرما، تمام مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما۔ یا اللہ محض محض جہاں بھی مسلمان پریشان ہیں ان کے پریشانیوں کو دور فرما۔ یا اللہ ہمارے حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے فضل کرم سے ہم سبوں کو قبول فرما۔ یا اللہ ہمارا آنا تمام مدارس مکاتب کو قبول فرما۔ یا اللہ دارالفتہ کو قبول فرما، اور جہاں جہاں بھی دارالفتہ اس طرح کے قائم سب کو قبول فرما، تمام شعبے جات دین کو قبول فرما، تمام شعبے جات دین کو قبول فرما جو تیرے مرضیات پر چل رہے ہیں۔ یا اللہ تمام شعبے جات کو قبول فرما۔ یا اللہ تمام مراکز تبلیغیہ، مراکز دینیہ کو قبول فرما۔ یا اللہ محض اپنے فضل کرم سے ہم سبوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری کوتاہیوں کو معاف فرما۔ یا اللہ ہم کمزور ہیں، ناتوان ہیں، یا اللہ تیرے دربار میں ہم سب توبہ اور تیرے دربار میں معافی چاہتے ہیں۔ یا اللہ ہم سبوں کی معافی فرما۔ یا اللہ بیمار کو شفا کاملہ اجلا مستمد عطا فرما، پریشان حال کو ان کے پریشانیوں سے حفاظت فرما، ان کو نجات عطا فرما۔ یا اللہ ہم سبوں کو قبول فرما۔ یا اللہ محض اپنے فضل کرم سے ہمارے دین کے تمام شعبوں کو زندہ فرما، نصرت فرما، مدد فرما، اور تمام رکاوٹوں سے حفاظت فرما۔ یا اللہ ہماری دعاؤں کو اپنے فضل کرم سے قبول فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم۔ اللهم انا نسالك من خير ما سالك عبادك نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وانت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله العلي العظيم۔ سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين۔